This is Will's Band of the Week for July 26th, 2015. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Chris, live in studio.
And who else?
Nobody.
Nobody else.
Empty chair. Barrett is in an undisclosed remote location and not participating in the podcast. Do you believe that?
Yeah, he's holding out for more money.
Yeah. He even sort of teased us with an idea of a special guest, and then that all just fell apart. But he'll come back later.
So what happens when you're working stuffs like us?
Yep.
Real life intervenes.
Right. I hate it when that happens.
If we were professional podcasters, we'd be all set.
Did you hear that? Speaking of professional podcasters, did you hear that? I never listened to Mark Maron, but he had the president on. And so I thought, well, I got to listen to this. And because there are all these stories written about it. And basically, it's like half of it is just him freaking out because he's got the president on.
Right. He's not asking very hard-hitting questions.
It's just funny because the whole thing is like, holy shit, the president is in my garage. And then he did one, like, I don't normally subscribe to the feed, but I did just so I could hear that one. And then I saw that the next one was another, just a whole podcast talking about how he had the president on his podcast.
Yes, yes.
So I'm like, okay.
Here's an hour's worth of president recaps. My reflections on meeting the president.
I mean, I guess it is kind of a cool story, right? He literally does a thing in his garage, and, you know, the motorcade shows up. They're doing, like, what, like, the day before they're setting up all the security. Okay, you know this better than I do because you deal with politics more than I do, but I guess that's how it always is, right? With the president, at least.
Oh, yeah, you have to have the advance team and all that stuff.
Yeah.
People show up and...
Crazy stuff.
Clear the area.
So we're not quite at the level where we get the president on our podcast.
President's pretty good at that stuff. He's probably got a team that helps him out with the kind of the new media type of stuff. Because he was on the Zach Galifianakis Between Two Ferns, pushing Obamacare. And he did some interviews with some notable bloggers in the White House. And one of them was this woman, Glozell, and her claim to fame was that she once filmed herself in a bathtub full of milk eating cereal out of the tub.
God, the ways you get famous these days. Was it ever better, though? Probably we just think about it that way now. Probably people got famous for really dumb reasons, you know, 50 years ago, too. But there weren't as many opportunities. Nothing could go viral.
Yeah, I mean, back in like the 1800s, I mean, even Mark Twain writes about people who are famous just for being famous. I mean, they kind of had their class of people who had really no discernible skill, but were just kind of, you know, famous because everybody knew their name, and that just fed on itself. So that's kind of always been around, the whole Kardashian phenomenon.
Yeah. That's a little different, though, than taking a bath in milk.
Eating cereal out of your own tub.
Yeah.
Which is only slightly more impressive than what we do here at our podcast, which is what's going to make us famous.
Yeah. When are we going to have an outrageous stunt?
I know. We need to do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just to get people to listen.
We always talk about these things. We never do them.
Local podcasters, I don't know. What should we do?
People have done 24-hour podcasts before. We talked about that. Apparently, there's software now that's gotten easier. I heard somebody talking about this. I don't know how you do it, but it's easier than it used to be to just live broadcast something, I think. You know, you might even be able to just go to some website or something and say, okay, you know, our feed will be live. So that'd be pretty exciting. We could have people Skype in. Just thinking about like hour 17, though, we would just be like, what would we even do?
Be like the Jerry Lewis telethon where he's like slumped over and can barely speak English.
Yeah.
Could you just talk for 24 hours straight? I'm not sure I could.
No, I don't know.
I'd be like one of those people at Costco like the free sample people. Have you ever been in there? And they've got the microphone on, and their only job is to just talk like for 8 hours straight. And sometimes like they just take dark turns.
Like, yeah, that would be hard to
like,
do.
Like, you've got to try this bacon. It's the best. My husband liked it, but he left me last year. And it's just really creepy when people are, I'm walking through the store and people are like talking out loud at me. It's disquieting.
Yeah. Usually the people with the samples can just stand there and they don't have to say anything. They just like put like at Costco, you know.
No, at Costco, they talk to you.
Well,
I have a phobia of people in stores talking to me. Like when I used to actually go buy like albums and stuff.
Yeah, you didn't want the guy at the store to make a comment about what you were buying?
Yeah, like I remember being in high school taking like 3 REM CDs up to the counter. And he's like, "Oh, so you like REM, huh?" I'm like, "Oh God, please just do not talk to me." I'm not paying you to swap music stories.
You didn't want to engage.
Right, yeah.
You just want to be left alone.
I really do, which is why the internet is great. Which is why I invented the internet, just so I could buy CDs online.
Yeah, it worked.
And not have to talk to clerks.
Now you don't have to buy CDs anymore.
That's true.
Yeah. So I understand you have a report, a movie report, once again.
I do. Unbeknownst to me, I went to go see the documentary Amy, which is about British soul singer, jazz singer Amy Winehouse.
So how do you go to a movie unbeknownst to yourself?
Well, so my neighbor texted me and said, "Hey, you want to go see that Amy movie?" And I thought she meant the Amy Schumer movie. You
know, oh, yeah.
Comedian Amy Schumer,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was coming out, but it actually wasn't out yet. So I'm like, "Oh, yeah, sure, let's go see that." And so we go to the theater.
It's a different Amy.
Yes. And so she's like, "Oh, I'll go get the popcorn. You go get the tickets." And so I go over to the, I always go to the automatic machine because, again, I hate talking to people because of my phobia of talking to people in stores. So I go to the automatic thing and I'm looking for the name of the movie would have been Trainwreck. And I'm looking for it. I don't see it. And then I see a movie called Amy. I'm like, "What is, I guess that's the movie I'm going to see." It all started to click. And so I bought two tickets to Amy. And then had to check on my phone, what is this movie I'm about to go see? And it turns out it was the Amy Winehouse documentary, which I probably would have gone to see anyway, because it got good reviews and seemed pretty interesting. So we went and we saw that, and it was really good. It was, it's really interesting. I mean, of course, everybody knows her story about her rise, and then the fact that she was hooked on alcohol and drugs and heroin and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then her first big breakthrough song was Rehab, which, you know, the refrain is, "They tried to make me go to rehab, and I said, no, no, no."
Oh, God, that's, yeah, it's ominous, isn't it?
Which was, yes, which was prescient. And during the movie, you see, and I don't know why, like, her dad participated in this movie and her boyfriend at the time, because they end up looking pretty bad. Like, at some point, her dad has his own reality show. And so while she isn't actually in rehab trying to get herself cleaned up, you know, he comes by with his camera crew to come talk to her because he needs her on his show.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
For him to, yeah, so she's, like, struggling with trying to get clean, and he's obviously trying to profit off of her. And then also while she's in rehab, you know, they give her a drug test while she's in rehab, and she turns up positive again because her boyfriend had been sneaking stuff into her. And it's one of these, you know, it was one of these like Kurt and Courtney type of situations where they just kind of, they're just terrible for each other. They're each other's enablers, and, you know, things just go downhill. And, I mean, it's interesting in that it gives you a perspective at the time of how many people were making jokes at her expense. Like, she won some award and Jay Leno did a joke that about, "Well, somebody better go wake her up." And just how, you know, we laugh at somebody who's essentially dying in public.
Right.
And how kind of callous we are at the time. And then, you know, what do you do just for somebody that's hellbent on self-destruction like that? And it kind of seemed like she was trying to get cleaned up, but then her body just gave out on her.
I remember seeing a video where she went on stage and she was just literally like stumbling, could barely walk. And then she grabs the microphone to try to hold herself up. It's just like, just really sad.
Yeah. And I think she's in the 27 club, people who are 27 years old that died.
Isn't that a weird thing?
Yeah.
It's just a...
Was it Hendrix and Janis Joplin and Kurt Cobain? And who else was 27?
There are a lot more.
Yeah.
So. Supposedly, you know what else is a thing about 27?
No.
It's the age when baseball players have their best stats.
I thought I remember seeing Bill James write something about that.
Yeah,
that,
I mean, maybe it's totally outdated. I remember that from like 15 years ago.
Yeah,
and I think it was hitters. I don't know if it's the same with pitchers.
That's their peak.
Yeah.
Their peak physical years where you're
yep.
experienced enough and physically fit enough, and then it's all downhill from there. And
so,
as a 42-year-old, I would agree with that.
And I wonder if there's any correlation. Maybe there's a big just coincidence factor with the whole 27 thing, but maybe the people who, you know, have the serious drug problems, you know, the drug problems peak at 27 for kind of the same reason, because they're like their body is at the max and maybe they kind of think they're indestructible or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, if you start the lifestyle in your early 20s, you know, 5-6 years is probably all your body can handle.
Yeah, I just heard an interview with Albert Hammond Jr. from the Strokes.
Mm-hmm.
And he almost killed himself. I mean, really, really close to killing himself with drugs. Said he wasn't quite what he would call suicidal. Like, he didn't actually think about actually killing himself, but he said that he almost did kill himself just with the drugs.
Yeah.
And now he says he's clean. Hopefully he is.
And you just see the scenes of people, you know, all the paparazzi and stuff following her around when she's obviously clearly high out of her mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, just chasing her around and people... I don't understand the whole culture of, you know, being someone that reads these magazines or, I guess now, websites that have, you know, these TMZ type of stuff where you just, like, feast on these people even when they're vulnerable. And I don't understand that. And she's, you know, I doubt there will be much self-reflection at all after people see this movie. We just kind of move on and, you know, whoever the next... hot musician is that's on drugs, we laugh at them until they die.
Yep. I think you're right.
Yeah, we never learn.
Nope.
So on that happy note.
And that happy note, well, any other music news? There was nothing that jumped out at me. So there was no music news in the pre-production. So unless we have something that pops into our head right now, I think that's it.
Yeah. Well, I recall all weekend when all my friends were at the Eau Claire's Festival.
Oh, right. Yeah. I read reports from that and also from the Pitchfork Festival.
Yes.
They had a big thunderstorm at the Pitchfork Festival, and they evacuated it for like an hour, and then they let everybody back in. Apparently, that's a pretty darn well, I mean, from my experience, it is a well-organized festival. Of course, that one's been around a while. The Eau Claire's one was the first year, and reports from that were pretty good, right?
Yeah. Heard nothing but rave reviews.
Did they do a live feed from that?
I think I looked and they did not. Otherwise, I would have watched it.
Yeah. The biggest complaints I read about were the lines were long and they didn't have enough water. And it was like 90 degrees. So, yeah, that's probably not surprising. But overall, it seems like they did a great job for the first year.
Yep.
Oh, they had a thunderstorm. They had a huge storm like overnight. And there were people trying to camp.
Mm-hmm.
And their tents just got like... blown away, and then the whole grounds flooded or something. It sounded really terrible.
Yes.
That's you know, it's one thing to be still willing to attend a music festival at my age, but camping at a music festival?
No.
That is not going to happen.
No.
That will not happen. All right. So, yeah, I think it's been a pretty good summer from the reports we've seen for music festivals so far. So, well, let's talk about the new Tame Impala album.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Currents, and, well, what is it? Their third album, right?
Yes.
And now, it seems like the music press wasn't doing this, but now they're sort of starting to call Tame Impala the solo project of Kevin Parker, right? It seems like he does pretty much everything on the recordings, and then he has hired musicians to play it.
That seems about right.
Yeah. So, and this is being talked about as a significant departure. I'm not sure that I think it's that big of a departure. The thing that's really missing that makes it different is all those guitar sounds with the wah pedal, that psychedelic thing. There's not much of that. But the rest of it has, you know, it's a little bit poppier, I think. But let's start with a track, and then we'll talk about it. I'm going to go with track 3, which is called Yes, I'm Changing.
All right.
Tame Impala.
Yeah, I was a much bigger fan of the first than I was the second. And I know you guys like the second quite a bit. And then this one, I think, immediately suffered from high expectations because I think Pitchfork gave it like a 9.3.
They gave it something pretty high, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I'm listening to it and I'm like, man, this has to be like Abbey Road to earn a 9.3.
Yeah.
And I didn't hear anything right off the bat that was like, is this the best album I've heard this year? And it's really grown on me. I really like it now. And I like that they're Australian. So like my favorite albums of the year are all from Australians, apparently. But yeah, it's got kind of like an 80s groove to it. A lot of synthesizers, a lot of cheesy synthesizers. You know, some good bass grooves.
Yeah, we should always mention that.
Yeah,
the bass has a cool sound too. It's got like a punchy sound.
Yeah, it's like a reedy sound to it.
Yep. I think he uses one of those violin basses. You know, like Paul McCartney used to play. Maybe he still does.
Yeah.
When I saw them live, the bass player was playing one of those, and you can get that kind of a sound out of those things.
Mm.
They're weird to play because they're very what you call short scale. So the strings are really close together, and the thing weighs like 5 pounds or something. It's like you're holding a toy, but you can get some cool sound out of it. So there's your bass insight.
Bass talk.
Yeah.
Basic bass. Yeah. So let me play a song.
Yeah, let's do that.
And let's see. The song I'm going to play is The Less I Know, The Better.
They already had a unique sound, and that's continued, right?
Yeah, I mean,
who else sounds like that? Nobody really.
Yeah, I was thinking the other day that it sounded like a band that you guys liked that I didn't like, but I do like this. And now, for the life of me, I can't remember who it was. I would have drawn a comparison, but huh. I mean, songs like that. There are a couple songs that are almost like R&B-y,
right?
I mean, they're almost like soul songs.
Yeah, but they all fit in. You know, the whole thing has a good cohesiveness, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know, like, one of the reasons that Pitchfork gave it, a grade of 9.3 was in part because, like, well, you know, he was going through this breakup and, you know, he had the strength to write this album. And, like, yeah. I tend not to give songwriters credit for whatever they were going through while they were writing it.
Yeah.
I mean, they get deep into it and they figure it out. He had the courage, the bravery. Like,
right.
Beck gets a lot of credit for writing his Sea Change album because it was, you know, he'd just broken up with Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
It
is funny. Like, the confessional lyrics are always, like, applauded like crazy. And,
right.
And they're probably actually easier to write than if everything was going great in your life and you had to make something up.
Yeah, so I wasn't dating Winona Ryder at the time, so I can't really relate all that much. So I mean, for me, everything's got to stand on its own. It can't be like, I'm not giving him extra points for whatever he was going through at the time.
There's another great example of that. I was listening to an interview with Ben Gibbard, and
sure.
You know, his last album is all being sad about breaking up with
Zooey Deschanel, right?
Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't be sad about that? But, I mean, he was married to her, so
yeah.
That's, you know, divorce, that's serious stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right, let's play one more.
She was standing looking out the window asking Siri if it was raining a lot. That's what she does in the Siri commercial.
Oh, that's...
She's looking out the window, and it's raining, and she says, Siri, is it raining? And Siri says, yes, it is raining.
Is she missing Ben?
I don't know.
Any reference to that?
Probably. She was cheating on him with Siri. She was talking to Siri too much.
That could have been it. Yeah. Yeah, apparently you can make Siri a male voice, but I've never tried to do that.
Well, why would you?
Yeah, it just changes his name to Jimmy or something. Yeah, I don't know why a person would do that. Okay. You know what? Let's do this. I think we should just play some of the first track. It's over 7 minutes long, and it's, you know, it's a pretty solid, decent 7 minutes, and it's catchy and kind of cool. So let's play that. It's called Let It Happen. That's a classic Tame Impala technique. Instead of changing the drum beat or playing quieter, you EQ the drums and remove all of the high end and do like a fade thing.
Mm.
It's an interesting effect.
You've unlocked the secret.
Yeah. Of course, if you play live, you have to have the guy at the mixer doing that. It would take a skilled drummer to do that. He'd have to start putting like blankets on top of his drums as he played.
Quick grab a... drumsticks with like pillows on the ends of it, and
yeah,
to drown it out, to muffle it.
Yeah. Did you notice that the drummer for Real Estate puts shirts over his drum heads to make them not so bright?
Mm.
Yeah, there's like shirts draped over his drums.
Oh,
I don't know if he always does that, but he did that when I saw him at Pitchfork.
I did not notice
that. Can't remember if he did that when we saw them indoors. Anyway, there you go, little Real Estate trivia. We got all kinds of trivia this week.
Sure.
All right. Parting words on Tame Impala. Good, solid album.
Really good album.
Yeah.
Kind of came out of nowhere, too. It was a nice surprise.
I think he's, I think Kevin Parker is, you know, not just a good musician, but he's like a sound engineer guy.
Yeah.
He orchestrates these sounds, and the, when I saw them live, this is probably a year and a half ago now, at least, they were so meticulous about the sound that it was kind of actually, it got to the point of annoyance, because there was a guy walking out and checking levels of all the mics and the tuning on all the guitars, and he did this for like 10 minutes, and then he walked off, and then you're like, okay, the band's going to come out, and then he comes back, and he does the whole thing again, and it's like, there was like 45 minutes of adjusting everything to make sure it was perfect.
Wow.
So I think that's kind of a Kevin Parker thing, inferring.
I think this is the third Tame Impala album we've reviewed.
It probably is.
And we can't review one of their albums without mentioning it. He sounds a lot like John Lennon, right?
Yeah, you know, it, for some reason, to me, he doesn't sound as much like John Lennon as he used to. Mm. I mean, I'm not even, like, I don't really hear that anymore. I understand it, but it just doesn't, like, hit me that way. But I definitely, when it was first made, that comparison, I definitely heard it. Yep.
Well, all right.
Yep. Okay, so he's the next John Lennon.
Wait a minute. I'm not sure that's exactly what I said.
I could declare right now that I think that Tame Impala is better than John Lennon, right? Get a whole new thing going, a whole new debate going.
Well, you have the editing capabilities, so yeah. You could like edit my voice.
I might add that in.
Better than John Lennon.
That's that thing we talked about with the where you press a key and it's a Chris joke, right? Remember that thing? Yeah. That device. You run that thing into the Neve mixer. Yeah. Okay. Maybe I should mention now, before everybody stops listening, there's a good chance we won't have a podcast next week, because I am going to be out of town on a family vacation. And this one just, I can't really, there's not enough time to work a podcast in. Unless, I don't know, we might just whip something really quick together, but don't expect a full podcast and be prepared. I know that your entire lifestyles are built around having another Will's Band of the Week podcast. If it doesn't happen, don't worry, it's going to be okay.
I feel like the term family vacation is an oxymoron.
Well, it's more, especially when, if the kids are the age of your kids.
Yeah. It's, I mean,
you just have to try to survive it.
We take a family trip, we'll say that, but yeah. Vacation might be stretching it just a little bit.
We got to the point where we sort of decided that trying to take everybody on the vacation is just going to be like not realistic. So Grant is not coming on this vacation with us.
Oh.
Part of the reason is he's going to play a couple gigs in Michigan. So, of course, his gigs take priority over his family vacation.
Michigan notoriously short of musicians, so they need to import him.
Yes. Yep.
Is he opening for Kid Rock?
He's playing at a record store. Everybody can listen to this. Let's see. This will go up Sunday night. If you can get yourself to Michigan by Monday afternoon, they're doing an in-store performance at a record store called The Corner Shop in, what's that place called? Somewhere near Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Mm.
I think it's between Kalamazoo and Grand Rapids.
He's out. How old now?
18.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought he was younger.
Yep.
Well, good for him.
They grow up so fast, don't they?
Keep that one on the straight and narrow.
Yeah.
Take him to go see the Amy movie and see what happens.
Yeah, that's right. I'll make him do that. He'll learn a lesson from that. All right. We've got more music, right?
Sure.
We each have another band to present. So I'm going to present you a band called Negative Scanner.
Mm.
They're kind of... you know, I think you call this style of music post-punk. And they have a really good, very... she's not really a screamer, but she's a very, very boisterous vocalist. Kind of along the lines of Jenny Beth from Savages, who's one of my favorites, so you'll be able to understand why I like this band.
I'm going to start a band, and I'm going to call it pre-punk.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah, I'll be the first pre-punk band. I'll be like Gordon Lightfoot, the era before punk hit.
I think I was talking to Grant about that. Like, what would pre-punk be? Were the New York Dolls pre-punk, or were they actually punk?
Yeah.
But they weren't post-punk, they were called glam or something. I don't know. Labeling is just difficult, isn't it? All right, Negative Scanner. They've got an album that is called Negative Scanner. They're from Chicago, and they're kind of rocking. Let's play track 2, Criticism. So is that pre-punk, punk, or post-punk?
Well, as you're looking at your computer right now, iTunes classifies it as...
punk.
Just punk.
Yep. Apple thinks it's punk. So they think a lot of things are punk that aren't punk, though.
Should I ask Siri?
Yeah.
Siri, what is negative scanner? Let's ask her.
Okay.
Siri, what is negative scanner?
Okay, I found this on the web for negative scanner.
Yeah, it's just giving me the website.
Try what genre is negative scanner.
All right, let's try that. By the way, why am I saying Siri before, like she's not going to listen to me if I don't address her? I know people that like thank Siri after they ask her a question. Click, thank you, Siri.
That's
like
terrible.
Siri's like, I'm out. I'm not answering any of your damn questions anymore if you don't thank me. All right. Oh, it's everything that I've just said, it's now
dictated into there.
Okay, hold on. Let's...
I know people like thanks Siri after they ask your question for please. I do like Siri, like on my mind, I'm not answering your damn questions.
All right, let's do this. Okay, Siri, what genre? I did it again. God damn it. Hold on. Stop that. All right, we'll try this again. What genre is negative scanner?
Here's what I found on the web for what genre is negative scanner.
Yeah. She's not going to tell me.
She doesn't know. Yeah.
She has strong feelings about negative scanner, but not allowed to...
Try asking her what genre is Kanye West or something that's really well known. See what she says.
All right, hold on. What genre is Taylor Swift? And it just took me to the iTunes Taylor Swift page.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. Well, that was fun. I like this band. I like negative scanner. Good pick.
Good.
Let's listen to another one.
You should. Okay, this one's called Low. Negative scanner. It's 11 songs, 28 minutes. They don't mess around. No 7-minute tracks on this thing. Yeah, it's got a cool sound. It's kind of lo-fi, but it's got a cool sound to it. So let's play one more.
All right.
Would you rather? That's Negative Scanner. So check them out.
Very nice. Where are they from again?
Chicago.
Huh.
Yeah, they're almost a local band.
That's a good segue into the band that I have, because it is also a Chicago band and Women Who Rock.
All right, let's hear it.
I picked for this week Veruca Salt, which is interesting to me because they are of my college era. They are the grunge era lady band that I liked a lot at the time. They were, for a while, people thought they were just going to be one-hit wonders. They came out with the song Seether.
I remember that song.
Yeah, and then they followed that up a few years later with Volcano Girls, which was another big hit. And, yeah, so the band is Nina Gordon and Louise Post, and they had a run in the early 90s and then apparently had a big falling out in the late 90s and split up. One of them, I believe Louise Post, dated Dave Grohl. So we got to work him into the...
worked into Dave Grohl reference.
We got to work him into the podcast somehow, so that's how he does it.
Does she have stories about how he was a jerk?
I believe she wrote a lot of songs about their breakup, or he did. One of them did.
Hmm.
It was kind of like the whole Beck breakup, where they got a whole album album's worth of material out of the deal.
Yeah.
And so they've been essentially dormant. One of them left, and they had another album in the meantime. So this is their first album since like 1998, where they've both been together. And so they're obviously, you know, probably our age now. But so I wasn't expecting much, but I really like it. It's good. So, you know, it's a lot more refined than the Negative Scanner that we just listened to.
Yeah,
it's,
I wouldn't call that refined.
Yeah. So let's play song 7, which is Laughing in the Sugar Bowl.
That day Chinatown burned down, I saw you start the fire. So deep, so sweet, Alphabet Street, what a poet, what a liar. Morning after first act, no tact, what a playback, wasn't that a good disaster?
Salt.
Yeah, I was just thinking the other day, if I were to put together a list of my top 10 right now, I don't know that there would be any male-fronted bands on it.
There have been a lot of really great female-fronted bands this year, yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it's going to be interesting. I you mentioned this a couple weeks ago, this trend, and I looked, and I think I did have more female-fronted. Yours was like totally dominated, but I still had more than half.
Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting.
But just this year, you got Courtney Barnett and, let's see, Colleen Green, and I don't know that this would be on there just yet, but I like it. And then, let's see, what we did a couple weeks ago, we did Wolf Alice, mm-hmm. We did Waxahachie, just album after album.
There was Slater Kinney early in the year.
Yeah?
Yeah, yes. It's
a strong year for the ladies. Year.
Yep, and absolutely.
I'm a sucker for the catchy poppy rock lady bands.
Yeah, and like the band we missed this week when they came to town,
XX.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of wished it just wasn't working out on the particular evening. Kind of sad I missed it though. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah,
it's an aging rocker too. You know, in a good way. Yeah. A good aging rocker. So hearing this Veruca Salt, which I haven't listened to previously, it definitely in the context of a band that played this style of music back in the 90s, it's catchy and it sounds good.
Yeah.
If they were just a brand new band playing this, I think I'd say, wow, this is kind of derivative or whatever. But they obviously have the right to do it.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what they sounded like 25 years ago almost.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll play another song. Let's play number 4, The Prince of Wales.
Yeah, that's rocking.
Best Coast is the other one that I didn't mention in my list.
Yeah, so you're giving a sneak peek. So we'll see what might beat these out, though.
Yeah,
I mean, there's still a few months to go.
Still a few months to go. And the one caveat that I have is Godspeed You Back Black Emperor, which doesn't really have a singer, which are all men. So I believe they are.
Yeah.
So yeah, catchy. You know, I wouldn't say it's, you know, 10 out of 10. It's not Okay Computer, but you know, it's a good summer album.
Those two tracks you played are definitely catchy, and they would sound good in a loud bar context, I think. I might even be interested in going to see them based on having heard this.
I think I just saw they're in Chicago. I think I may have looked them up, and they're doing the usual Chicago, Minneapolis, and skip it over Wisconsin.
Oh, come on.
Poor us.
You're from Chicago. That's kind of, it's like, it's a slap in the face, right? If you're from Chicago and you don't play in Madison, you clearly don't respect Madison then.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Chicago.
I'm taking that as a personal insult.
Yeah. You'd think they would, of all people, they would know the magic that happens here.
Right. I was looking at somebody's list of who they considered were the best all-female bands in rock and roll. And so I just saw this, one of these links, right? Oh, I guess I'll click on that and look at it. And I thought they might be referring to, you know, currently, right? Mm-hmm. But it wasn't. It was like, this person's opinion of the greatest all-female bands ever. And there was one on the list that I think is one of the most overrated bands ever. The people think they're cool and they're just not that good. L7. Remember L7?
I've seen L7 in concert.
They had one catchy song called Pretend We're Dead.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of metal. And it was catchy, but the rest of it, I saw they played some gig more recently, and I watched a little bit of it, and I'm like, this is just not that good.
Yeah.
So I'm giving them the overrated label.
Yeah, if they're on any kind of like greatest band list, I think you're probably right. But yeah. I mean, when we're talking about all female bands, I mean, Veruca Salt has two men in
yeah,
it, so
right,
they wouldn't
right.
be. I mean, Best Coast wouldn't be an all female
right,
band,
right? So it's just there aren't
really
that many of them.
Yeah, you're really yeah. paring it down to go all female, but
yeah,
I don't know.
How about what's that band? That's like a joke band of Japanese women. Remember that band?
Chibo Matto?
No, the one that's kind of power pop, bubblegum pop. What is that band? I'm blanking out on him. Oh, God. I can't believe I'm not coming up with it.
Do not know.
No, the listeners all know. You guys know what I'm talking about. All right.
Do I get one more?
Yeah, one more.
All right. Song, Assault. Song two, Black and Blonde.
Let's declare victory for the aging rockers.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I was just about to say, it's a sign of being an aging rocker that you listen to songs and immediately when they swear, you're like,
oh.
Did they really have to do that?
Yeah, old person did that. That's right.
Because I'm like so conscious now of listening to music when my kids are around.
I was looking at the...
really, Veruca Salt? Did you have to?
I'm looking for the big... explicit label on this thing on Apple, and they don't have it. So that could totally corrupt your kids.
Yes.
Did I tell you about when I took Grant to see Green Day and he was like 10? Like every other word. It was hilarious. It was so over the top.
It's rock and roll.
Yeah. Yeah. You get desensitized after a while, but I think he was like 10.
Wow.
Maybe he was 12. I don't know. It was right after that, the 21st Century Breakdown or whatever. Is that what that's called?
Yeah, that would have been
a
like,
tour for that album.
That would have been like, I forget what year that would have been. But yeah, just a few years ago.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Well, that's pretty good, right?
Yep. And that's
$0 worth for sure,
that's
right?
The album, Ghost Notes is the name of the album.
Veruca Salt.
Yep. Check it out.
That's all we've got, right?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. That's good. That's solid. Totally solid. Oh, I'm doing the Jim Rome thing again, right?
Yes.
At the end of the show, we say how
we just
it
recap it. Epic. That was an epic episode. Epic podcast.
Do you think there's a psychological thing? If we now declare how great the podcast was, it'll make people think that it actually was.
Yeah. This is something that I've noticed in people, because I'm a writer and people email me.
yeah. and they challenge the things that I write.
Mm-hmm.
And so occasionally somebody at the end of the email will sum up the email by telling me how much they just destroyed me. Like,
I just destroyed you.
Yes. Let me read the end of this email. He goes on, and then at the end he says, okay, read, do some research. Your main point has been destroyed.
There you go.
Yes, you just declare victory and then walk away. He loved it.
Yep. Yeah, it's like when people use the like in the subject line, checkmate. Right? I love that one. or they write, their last statement says, end of discussion.
It's like, yes.
Okay, thanks for letting me know. That was the end. Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, this is the end of the discussion for the music this week. And there's really nothing that anyone else could say that would add anything to this conversation.
Cannot be improved.
We've said it all. So, all right. Well, talk to you again in, you know, a week or two as the summer, you know, the summer is like more than half over now.
Oh,
can you
boy.
Believe that? I mean, not the actual summer, but yeah. We define summer as the school year, you know. So, yep. You have to go buy your back to school notebooks. Stuff
trapper keepers, etc.,
and whatever that is,
your blitz and trappers, your trapper keepers, your
blitz and trapper. All right, I think I scrunched my chair. It feels really low. I gotta figure out how to raise this chair. I feel like I'm sitting like on the floor or something. I don't know. Still a little equipment malfunction going on here. All right, we'll talk to you again next week or in 2 weeks or whenever we feel like it, because we're indie rockers with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Later, homies.
You can subscribe to the Will's Band of the Week podcast using iTunes or any other podcast app. All of our podcasts are also available directly on our webpage, willsband.net. You can contact us directly by email to willsband@yahoo.com, on our Facebook page, or on Twitter @WillsBand. The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you every week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.